Welcome back, pod people, to the final French cinema episode of 2021. We might do French cinema again, so I don't want to just jump into it being the final one of all time. And we'll definitely cover more films from France down the road. We definitely know that. I'm your host, Justin Morgan, and I'm here with...
Chuck.
And today we're talking about Brotherhood of the Wolf from 2001, 20 years ago. 20th anniversary, I guess, for this episode.
Yeah, good anniversary.
Yeah, I wanted to bring it someplace weird. Yeah. This is definitely the weirdest one.
It really is. It's a very strange ending to this month, going from our previous three films, all in black and white, all
depressing.
Far more grounded in reality, I guess I would say. That you definitely just went off the cliff into fantasy for this last one for us.
It kind of plays it a little bit more close to realism than it could. I mean, the martial arts is weird. The craziest thing about this movie is it doesn't stick with any genre. It is definitely a mash of genres, and it's definitely a product of its time. I still had a lot of fun watching this. When I first started, I have the latest release from Scream Factory, and it looks great, but when it started, it didn't give me any option. It was playing it dubbed in English.
Yeah.
And it was being narrated. I'm like, wait a minute, I don't remember this guy being in English. And it starts with virtually almost no talking, or a lot of talking when people aren't looking directly towards the camera or anything, so you can't see the lips if they're matching up or anything. I'm like, no, this isn't right. So I switched it, French with English subtitles, and we were golden. That's kind of the way I prefer it.
As it should be.
Well, it kind of bothers me when you see the lips moving and stuff, and the subtitles will just say yes. And I'm like, there's no way that person just said yes. No way in hell. But yeah, I mean, this is like coming off of kind of like, it feels like it's stealing from Sleepy Hollow a little bit. And it feels like it's stealing from the like Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon stuff.
Jaws.
I guess there's
heavy Jaws stuff. But the biggest thing of all that you point out, Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon, but this also falls into the category of films that came out right after The Matrix, where they were just like, whoa, did you see what we could do with slow motion? And this movie, I feel like it's a long movie, and I do feel like there are times where I'm like, all right, man, like, we don't need... Like, I don't know if he's hitting, like, Zack Snyder territory of, like, that did not need to be in slow motion, but there's, like, times where I'm just like, that shot did not need to be in slow motion.
The version I watched was 152 minutes, which is apparently a director's cut, even though I don't think it said was a director's cut.
I think that's one of those weird movies that I don't think, like, I've never seen any version that's not a director's cut, so I don't know if it's just never, I don't want to say never has been released.
Well, we had it outside of France. I remember being at the waterfront. That's not where I saw it. I didn't see it until it was at Hollywood Video. And it was another one of those movies that everyone bitched about. But, yeah, I kind of wanted... the reason that we're doing this is, a couple months ago, I decided to get into a bunch of werewolf films. And this was one of the ones that... I was looking it up, and then the next day Scream Factory was like, hey, in July we're going to be releasing Brotherhood of the Wolf. I thought, perfect. Then Chuck says, hey, we're going to do French cinema as a theme for the podcast. And my initial response of ideas for like the final ones were was it Portrait of a
Lady
Woman
on Fire?
Lady?
I could be either one.
Portrait of a Lady on Fire sounds right.
Or
Personal Shopper. I was going around those more so in my mind. And then I was like, wait a minute, you want to watch Brotherhood of the Wolf? Let's do it. And this might be the most insane, batshit crazy one out of all four of them.
And it's weird because, spoiler alert, it's not a werewolf movie. It's barely a wolf movie. I mean, there's wolves in it. There's wolves in the film, but not in the way that you're thinking of, like, a werewolf movie. It's weird that, like, I think I had the same thing. I was like, when I first picked it up and, like, read the title, and, like, you kind of read the description, you're like, oh, this beast is lurking. You're like, oh, this sounds like a werewolf movie, like, 100%. And then you watch the movie, and you're like, I mean, there were wolves there, but this is not a werewolf movie.
I mean, technically, I think it's considered a werewolf movie. Or I guess I should say, it's considered a werewolf movie when technically it turns out not to be a werewolf.
Yeah, yeah. There's weird, I don't know, callbacks to it. The Vincent Cassel's character shoots silver bullets, which the one guy, like, mocks him as, like, oh, what do you think, you're going to find a werewolf out there? Which, again, there is not technically a werewolf out there, but he still shoots silver bullets for some reason.
I guess our first idea is, well, they made it like his signature thing.
Yeah.
That's just what he does.
Yeah.
You see the werewolf killing people in broad daylight in the very beginning, and the kills kind of, like, differ on how good they are.
Yeah.
I felt like the first couple, like, in the countryside, weren't that great, but the one where the guy was in the basement was really well done, where the CG is not aged well at all, but they mix in enough practical effects to make it
that
work.
There's a few
close-up shots where you can tell that it's actually there, or at least when they're, like, breaking things, they're actually doing it in the real place and on set.
The parts where it's actually there are cool, because that was made by Jim Henson's studio, so, like, the parts where they're actually, like, interacting with a puppet look really good because it's super high quality. But I would agree, there's another film this made me think of, The Relic. Did you ever watch that one? That's another one. It's from a few years earlier, but it's the same way of, like, it's kind of a good movie, but then when you watch it now, you're like, every time they, like, show the monster when it's in the shadows, you're like, oh, that thing kind of looks cool. And then as soon as it gets into, like, any kind of, like, brightly lit situation, you're just like, oh, that thing looks, like, not terrible, but it hasn't aged well.
It's not so much the design, it's as much as, like, it's just the technology just takes it out of play.
The technology just isn't good sometimes.
No, there's a moment when it's stalking them, and it, like, it can, like, stick to the side of the cliff a little bit. It doesn't move right, like, it doesn't move naturally.
Yeah,
which sucks, because this film was successful for France. I think it said it was the, like, sixth best grossing movie
of the year.
And I
mean, at the time, it made its, that's money the thing back. At, like, the time, I'm sure money. Yeah, at the time, like, there wasn't as much to compare it to, and I'm sure it, like, oh, it did look good at the time, but now you've seen, like, so many, like, photorealistic creatures, and we've had this would have been, what, 2001, so this would have been around the same time as the start of the Lord of the Rings trilogy, which that got better and better with, like, the way they used CGI technology. So this was around the same time, but obviously I would say Lord of the Rings probably had a much higher budget than this film did.
Also, Fellowship was more practical than any of the other ones.
Got better as they went with the later two, like Return of the King, which would have been 2 years later, 2003, probably has, like, the most effects going on in it.
And then we had more Matrix movies.
Yeah, that's true. This is like...
And we're getting another Matrix movie.
Yeah. This movie came out in 2001, and then there's another one that I've seen people, like, mention as being, like, a Matrix clone, but, like, definitely one of those times where foreign films were taking influence from that kind of Hollywood action style. Have you ever watched Night Watch? It's Russian.
I don't think so.
It's the same guy that did Wanted. It was, like, one of his earlier movies. He did two. There's two of them. I don't know that he directed the second one, is Day Watch. But it's, like, another one where it's, like...
I laughed because I was thinking Night Watch 2, and then you're like, Day Watch. It's, like, perfect. Yeah,
so it's, like, it's like another one. That one came out in 2004, so that was later. But that was, like, another one. Like, I know I saw, like, people were criticizing those type of films, like Brotherhood of the Wolf, and then, like, Night Watch as being, like, oh, great. Now even the foreign countries are making stupid action movies now. Like, whereas they, I don't know if, like, their idea of, oh, French films should be, you know, high art and poetic and classy, and now they're making stupid action movies.
It's such a weird mixture. the premise of the movie kind of feels more along the lines of Sleepy Hollow, where this character, Fransack, his name is like Giorgio de Fransack or something.
Fransack. Gregoire.
Fransack.
Okay.
Fransack, we're going to say. Fransack, whatever. Sack. He basically, there's been, what, 2 years that have gone by, if not a little bit longer at that point?
Yeah, it's like 2 years.
Where hundreds of people have been dying from this beast that nobody can, like, match a description on. And this is the only thing that is, like, based off of true events. This was, like, a real thing that was happening. From there, I guess nothing is remotely close to realism whatsoever. But yeah, the whole idea was like, oh, this guy's got to hunt down this beast. They just kept calling it the beast. But then it kind of gets weird where, like, yeah, it does. I think the biggest failure that isn't even the CG monster. It's sort of the way that it's edited together in a way that's just I don't know. It's all over the place.
It's too long. Let's be realistic. It is too long.
Well, not even the length. Which you can easily cut stuff out of there if you wanted to.
Yes.
Easily. Let's say it's slimmer. A lot of the shots are just weird. Like,
yeah.
Like, it'll cut five different times for no reason at all. And I thought it would have just turned out to be a better film had it just lingered with them walking with the horses instead of you doing 50 cuts.
Yeah.
Also, my favorite shot is probably... what is it, Monica Bellucci, where she's like naked and then they transition her into CGI snow covered mountains, like shape of her body. Like, it's cool in concept, but it looks terrible. Like, there's a part where like it turns it fully into the mountains, but then when it goes over, I guess what would be the mountains that were her breasts, her face is still there. I'm like, what is happening?
It holds too long that like her face is like just randomly on the mountain.
There's a shot like that, too, at the very end of the movie where they transition to erasing the people, but they kind of, like, do it. They have time pass. They have this cool thing where, like, you think it's dawn, but it's actually torches, and then the people disappear before their shadows disappear. Then it zooms in on the shadows, and the shadows disappear. And I was like, there's just, like, too much going on to the point that I think it's entertaining. This is the worst one out of all of them. But I don't think it's... I still think it's fun. The parts that I would say drag, like you brought up, are... There's, like, these villains that are, like, gypsies almost of some sort.
Yeah.
And they are, like, mindless monsters almost.
They have no character. Like, they don't even have lines at all. They're just always there, like, to attack the hero.
There's this Native American character, Manny, who has a very complicated backstory as to why the hell he's not in North America anymore.
And... Also, one of the like, that's one of the, well, I don't know, oddest castings? I don't know. I don't know if I want to say it's odd. I don't know. Is that guy even Native American? I feel like is the part that I wonder, because
even
like,
if he's not, when he gets murdered, which he does get murdered, the white guy takes over the Native American persona that he's learned from Manny, apparently.
Because we're just all about cultural appropriation in this film.
Yeah. So even if he was, he kind of had like
he is. I will tell you because I did want to double check and see where he's from, because I know he's been in a lot of other movies and he kind of is. I don't know. I feel like he's another one that falls in that category of generally Asian, and they just kind of put him in wherever they need. Like, he's been in a lot of things. He is from Hawaii, and he has Chinese, Filipino, and Spanish ancestry, and he says he also has Japanese ancestry. So, you know. Not Native American necessarily. This is that I definitely just 100% got that feeling of like, did they just pick him because they wanted someone that does kung fu, but then they also like wanted to do something else with the story? And they're like, he's Native American, and I'm like, he doesn't look Native American at all, but okay.
When he does his fighting, the couple times it, I think that it's obviously he can do his own stunts, or it's mostly him. And then when it switches over to the other guy, his stunts are usually CG or he's in the shadows or something. Like, yeah. There's a moment where he grabs two swords at the end of the movie, and they flip around so damn fast. Like, it's just CG that made him look like he's, like, swinging them around 5,000 times before he stops them. Yeah, it definitely gets a little bit goofy, and his story about, like, oh, yeah, we killed all his people, but he came with me anyways, we're friends. Like, what? Why did he come with you? Oh, they had smallpox anyways.
That's his brother, he says.
It's his brother now.
Yeah.
But, it's also really weird, too, because the first time you meet these, like, soldiers, how many movies have you watched where somebody tries to, like, jump in and they ruin an FBI investigation? And yeah. There's like some similar scene to that where this people are getting chased by these men dressed as women, and he come like they show
that
up
made me think
he...
of Monty Python so badly, because it's like they're so obviously not women, but they're dressed in the outfits, so they have like smeared makeup on their face.
What's the scene that happened beforehand where like they obviously tricked those people into thinking they were women for a moment or something? Yeah. Before they chase them. But I like later, it's like maybe 15 minutes later, and he's introduced to the army, and they're like, yeah, you fucked up my plans with my soldiers. And they're the soldiers. You're like, what were they doing? What was their plan? I want to know more about what these guys were up to.
They were just robbing people.
Also, too, for like the long, for a long movie, this movie is great when it gets into this dinner scene very early on. And I swear to God, it introduces 20 characters.
Yeah,
and yes. Each character continuously has a line, and it's very hard to follow who all these people are.
Yeah. Yeah, that's where we, I think that's where we get introduced to Vincent Castle's character, who I will
eventually
say...
Eventually, yeah, he's one of the 20.
He's one of the people there, and it's like, he's,
Jean-Francois or something like
Jean-Francois,
that.
Jean-Francois, yeah. He's one of those guys that... I feel like he's just so typecast as the villain that it's like as soon as he shows up in the movie, I'm just like, well, that's the bad guy. Like, we're only like half hour into the movie, and I'm just like, that maybe I feel like is another reason why it comes off as long, because it's supposed to, I feel like he thinks it's going to be like, when I reveal who the villain is, it's like the weird guy with one arm that like is weird to everybody and seems so, so strange.
Like so weird. He's from Privilege, obviously. And he has some, like, backstory of, like, being this, like, world-renowned, like, hunter or something. Or he's been all over the world, they say.
He got his arm eaten by a lion in Africa.
When you get halfway through the movie, there's this little girl that survived, and she knows that the wolf that's not a wolf. That's a spoiler. We've already ruined
yeah,
it.
Yeah, yeah.
Is being controlled by a person. And they keep obviously showing, like, he, like, always holds out his arm.
Yeah, always his right arm that is the arm that he doesn't have. So it's, like, right. It's meant to throw you off.
And there was a moment where I'm like, oh, well, it's clearly a fake arm. But then he moves his hand well. And I'm like, okay, well, then I don't know. Eventually, we get to the reveal that he's just been tucking his arm
into, like, a corset for years.
Arms. Yeah, I don't know. But I do like when he takes his arm out, which he's clearly had his arm out before. It's like a Frankenstein, like green arm with these like long, like cut. Your
I know
nails
they never, they never,
dude.
Yeah, they never explain like where the arm's from, like what, how he got it. Like you're saying, like is it also supposed to be like a Frankenstein's monster? Like they chopped someone else's arm off and just attached it to him. Like did someone do magic and it regrew or something like that? Like no one ever explains where that arm comes from.
Well, it does get a little bit confusing to me still, because it feels like it's magic, and then later it just feels like the animal was well-trained. You know what
yeah,
I mean?
Yeah, the way like, they explain it, the way they explain it is that it just sounds like he trained it from birth or something. Like the same, it's literally the same as like, is that Pitbull magic? No, he's just been training it to win dog fights since it was born or something like that. Like, it's not, yeah, it's no, there's no magical power to it.
I mean, they build this suit for it, apparently, and they all take care of it. Yeah. I do like the wolf, like, when they kill all those wolves, that's a great shot. The hunting really reminds me of Rules of the Game, the exact same hunting scene from that French movie, where they're just, it's just this hunting party, and it's just basically shots of them getting, like, wildly massacring nature. And it's the same in this, where like the wolves are like flying like 30 feet in the air, and I'm like, what are they shooting them with? Then they have the pile. Apparently they use them all, so that's good. But my favorite part with the wolves is the very end, with like the kind of the main bad guy, I guess, or the remaining bad guy. He like basically takes off to try to escape, and for some reason, I may have missed, the wolves just hunt him down to kill him for no reason at all. Like, it's just like I guess it's supposed to be believed that it's just bad luck that he ran into them and they started chasing him down.
Yeah.
I mean, it has fun vibes to it. Like, when did Assassin's Creed come out? It really reminded me of Assassin's Creed when he was going all ape shit and like burning the place down and like just going in there and killing all these people.
Like 2005, 2007.
Oh, and other bad CG. The final fight with him and Jacques Francois or whatever his name was.
Jean-Francois.
He's got that bone sword, but then it's also a chain weapon of some sort.
It's like what's the character? There's that one character from Soul Calibur that has like a blade, like a whip sword or something like that.
Yeah, it keeps going back and forth between, like, you think he uses it twice like that, where you're just like, what the fuck is that thing?
Yeah.
They showed it earlier in the movie when he finds, like, the cult. Yeah, there's a cult in it, too.
Yeah, just keep adding things. Which really feels like how this movie was made, is like just keep adding stuff.
Yeah, like some of it, like the slow-mo does like kind of kill it a little bit, where there's just this weird, like, the guy's like, I'm going to get this unattainable girl. And the romance is just like off. It feels weird the whole time. Especially he looks like 40 and she looks like she's 14 or something.
Yeah.
And it's... the scenes when he's like chasing her back on the horse and they're trying to make it like romantic or something for the slow-mo jumping over trees and shit.
Just looks like he's like, chasing her to kill her.
What is happening? It does have that same, the plot does fall closely to Sleepy Hollow though, where like they're kind of controlling this situation for the town somewhat.
Yeah.
I do like how they're like, when they killed Manny and they're like, I don't know, he wasn't a Christian.
Yeah, basically. Yeah, just a lot of casual racism in this film. Yeah, I think someone says earlier like something about we're having dinner with a savage. What's next? The Negroes too? And I'm just like, okay. Oh,
they don't say Negroes.
No, oh, well, yeah. But there's a lot of weird stuff going on. Sleepy Hollow.
Weird stuff.
Sleepy Hollow is a good comparison. And,
yeah,
but it did make me think of Jaws with like it's in the seemingly it's in the king's best interest to like just find one real quick, like, and get it over with. Kind of in the exact same way of like
the tiger shark.
Yeah, we found a shark, and like the mayor's like, cool, we got a shark. Everyone get back on the beach. We're all good now, right? Like everyone quit bothering. And I feel that kind of ties into another part where this movie kind of like loses me and I don't get where they're going or what the whole point exactly is supposed to be. And it's like when he goes back to Paris and is real mad about, like, you know, he's like, oh, whatever, I made your stupid monster that you wanted. And what are you going to put it in the museum? And everyone's going to look at it like, what if I tell people it's not real? And the guy's like, oh, no one will believe you anyway. And then that's when we first see those little red books that we keep seeing throughout the film after that. And he's like, what about this? And he's like, oh, what is that? Another book you censored or something like that? And they like casually mention, he's like, that it's some sort of anti like government book that's starting an uprising or something like that. And you're like, okay. And then they keep showing it.
Play much into it besides the villagers at the end of the movie. Like, you don't really have a sense of the villagers. The people that you do have that are not like the royalty, the royal family, they have like a really weird like bond with the royal family. They seem to be working with the royal family. So I'm like, what is going? Like,
yeah, I'm so confused. I mean, like, I'm like, do they want to overthrow the royal family or not? Like, I'm lost. Like, Like, they're
there's a Romeo and Juliet plot too, where they poison him and then he fakes his death. And
you're also making me, you made me remember like another movie that has the same plot of, you know, the village that just takes care of itself and doesn't want outsiders, done much better as Hot Fuzz.
Hot Fuzz is like,
Hot
yeah,
Fuzz is Hot Fuzz is like good. The yeah, for the greater good. It's like it's the exact same plot in that film too. But that's where like I really start the like, I don't want to say the movie dragged necessarily, but it's like they keep putting it in there. The when he goes to the after they kill Manny and he goes back to the hideout of all the I don't know, gypsy savage people that we don't know who they are. He goes into one of the rooms and, you know, kills the guys in there, and there's just piles of those books everywhere. And it, yeah, it's like, it feels like one of those. Then he keeps walking past that room, and I'm like, so are they the ones printing the books? Like, I'm like, I don't get what I'm supposed to like care
they're
about
in on it in
the books.
Some way.
Like I don't get it. And then it keeps going, and then yeah,
it
by
has,
the
like a bad ending, and then like we killed the beast ending, and then I hope that there's a happy ending, but it, yeah. It might not be true.
Then we get the weird. Yeah, the happy ending that you hope is true is like the Alfred ending for Dark Knight Rises. Like I'd like to think that they had a wonderful life after this. But yeah, that's how the movie starts, is we get that opening narration of the guy writing the history of when he was a young man out in the countryside, and he's writing about Manny and Gregoire, about, you know, all their hunting and stuff like that. Then it just gets to the end, and he's like, it seems to, I guess, be during like the French Revolution when they're like beheading everyone. And I'm just like, but the movie never does make that connection between like, are these supposed to be like the people that rose up because they read that book or something like that, and now they want to behead this guy? I'm like, but he was also from the village, so I don't know. I'm like lost on like, they want to kill this guy. I'm like, I don't understand where they're trying to go with this.
Yeah, I don't.
Yeah, you don't know either.
I don't have an answer for
no
it.
One, no one knows.
I mean, it definitely is a convoluted movie, to the point that like a lot of, I feel like it robs itself from a lot of good moments by being so over the top. A lot of these times with like these wolf attacks, especially the, I mean, like he plays the detective type character, which makes me think a lot of Sleepy Hollow. Yeah. Where he's like, oh, he measures the fang size, and he's like, oh, it's at least 500 pounds.
Yeah.
I think, damn, okay. And I kind of wish it would have went that route. Maybe it was originally going to go that route, and they thought, oh, we can't make it the same, where it was like some sort of beast that they summoned and controlled, is what I kind of thought it would have been. And when I first see the thing, I remembered it was like, isn't it like a lion or something, or a big cat or something?
It's something. They don't say exactly what it is. They just say
he brought it back from Africa.
Yeah, he brought it back from Africa, and it had like a litter of cubs, but he only kept the strongest or something like that.
They convoluted the story more. They're like, anyways, you do see the eyes underneath the skull, and at first I thought like it was a wolf or something. Like it was just disguised to look more menacing than it was. I kind of just wish they would have just kept it a wolf, even if it wasn't a werewolf. Like it was just a trained wolf.
Because it's still just that's still the weird part, is they refer to themselves as like as the Brotherhood of the Wolves, and like they say that, and I'm like, okay.
Well, when you kill all those wolves, you gotta do stuff with their skin and. You know,
but
so,
they don't
yeah.
do that. We never see them. We never see that happen. Even it's
well,
like,
they're skinning them and stuff. But I don't know what the hell they're doing. Because they're wearing. You think they would wear like wolf fur robes, but they wearing
red cloaks. Yeah,
which feels more like Eyes Wide Shut or something. Like I don't know what's going.
Yeah.
The hats definitely make me think Eyes Wide Shut, where there's like little like
pointed
fringe.
Hats.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That everybody wears. Like even the women wear them. Like every single character has them.
Yeah. There's definitely, and I could even take, like, I don't even have a problem with, like, it being weirdly anachronistic or the fact that they, like, Manny especially, like, fights, basically does, like, kung fu when he fights. He doesn't even, it's not even, like, fighting. We see at the end when they're going on the hunt and he has like the tomahawk and stuff like that. That feels like more of like what he should have been doing the whole time. But then like earlier in the movie, he's straight up like using a staff and it's more like Chinese kung fu. And I'm just like, I was like, why is the Native American guy doing kung fu in France? Like that's such a weird opening thing that he does that. And then it switches over later when they go on the hunt and he seems to be more like doing like the fighting style of, like I said, like he has like a tomahawk and like they use like bows and arrows and stuff like that. I'm like, this feels like how it was supposed to be the whole time. I'm like, why was he doing kung fu moves earlier in the movie?
Yeah, they could have like cut those people out at the beginning of the movie and just straight up made it like this thing's killing people. The end. You know what I mean? Like cut that out. And then there was that weird scene in the middle with them fighting, and I'm like, I don't even understand what the fighting was about. For. And I thought, like, oh, you defeated these guys, but then they came back, like, three times.
Yeah.
And the one guy, all he really did was, like, stick his tongue out, like, ugh! And I'm like, what the fuck? And then there's that one moment where Manny sticks his tongue out, too, like, you don't scare me.
Yeah.
And I have no idea what.
There's a weird edit later, too, that's just like bizarre to me, or like feels like it wasn't properly implied when after they go on the hunt and Manny goes into the like the underground lair or whatever, and his brother doesn't follow him because he's healing that other guy who got dragged around by the monster. And then we see that he gets shot and he goes down, and then it cuts to them dragging him away. And then we see them like throw him into like some sort of like valley or something like that. And that's where he dies. And I'm like, oh, okay, he died. And then later when Gregoire goes back to the same place and he finds like a cross with chains on it. And he like has like some sort of flashback to this is where they tortured Manny. I was like, oh, they did that? That did not get like, that was not implied by that edit at all. 100% looked like he got shot and then they just threw him over the cliff. Like, I'm like, that was not like implied at all.
My favorite was when he did the like ceremonious burning and it's like way over the top, but you're supposed to believe that he did this by himself.
Yeah.
And like just as he lights it and he's like watching it and there's like some voiceover where he explains that hopefully by burning him he'll be able to go back with his tribe.
Yeah.
And the camera moves slightly and there's a dude standing behind him and he's like, you gotta go. Just like, what the hell? Like, that nice timing was like comedic. I also did like the one
The next cut is also like comedic. The when it cuts to the next morning and he's scooping the ashes into the box and that guy's like, you're under arrest, and he just goes, this is ridiculous, and then just gets smashed in the face and goes flying into the dirt.
Yeah, I do like the moment too where he's all painted up and he's like gonna take his revenge on all these people. And he looks in the window and the guy looks back at him. And then the next cut is like the window with nobody in it. And it's just, it's funnier than it should be.
Yeah.
But the mixture of these moments when he's like attacking them is funny. Cause when he starts like torching the place, it looks really cool. And then half the fights in there are just weird. Like the one fight where he's being held down by like, I get the equivalent of like redneck villagers or something. And it's like, they got him cornered and he like kicks the one guy in the face. And I'm like, that's his out. He just kicked him in the face. Like they're like, oh shit, this guy kicks. We didn't know that.
This guy uses his legs and his hands.
I don't know. I mean, I think the movie kind of would have been better if at least the Manny character, even if they recast him, they made him the final guy that went in to like fight the wolf and finish them off. Instead of making the guy, like, I get that he was probably trained by Manny because they're brothers and they're close and stuff, but it was kind of like a huge white savior type thing.
Yeah.
It was just like, really?
Yeah.
He's the one doing it.
Killed the savage so that the
you couldn't have just made him seek revenge. He had to be basically, I don't even know what they're doing too, because like when they set up the trap to like catch that monster, it's like Home Alone or something again, where it's just so over the top where they lure that thing out and they have like the swinging trap that comes down and like it doesn't even do what I think it's supposed to do, which is like impale the creature. It just knocks it back into like a cage that they apparently like shittily made because it just fell to pieces. But yeah, I kind of feel that they didn't have to lure him. They didn't have to lure the creature there. I felt if you wanted to go with more like the Native American thing, you could have had him, like, I don't know, tracking him. Or you think, like, from the very beginning, I have Manny here because he's the best tracker that there ever was, and we're definitely going to find this beast. But he's just like, yeah, he's my sidekick, and he knows Kung Fu.
Yeah. Where did he learn Kung Fu? He went to China one time.
Oh, he's part Japanese.
Yeah, he's also part Japanese and Native American.
Yeah, idiot. And he's Spanish.
He's got everything. Yeah, that 100% feels like that guy just gets cast as, we need a generally Asian type guy. Like, we'll put you in that. We'll get you in that role.
Well, I'm kind of interested too. It's making me think of, they're doing the new Predator movie that's supposed to take place back with Native Americans. Like, I don't know if he's hunting Native Americans or whatever, but it's interesting to see how they're going to cast it. Like, yeah. Hopefully you are actually casting some Native Americans.
Yeah.
It's not that hard. There's people that want these jobs. Like, look for them. You'll find them. I don't know, unless it was like, we can't find one that can speak French. Maybe that was their problem. Although he didn't speak that much. They could have just had a Native American and told him to speak. There was a few times where they were speaking a foreign dialect, and Manny was like, they said this, and I'm like, I doubt that they're speaking your native language in France. Like, what language are they supposed to be speaking?
Yeah. He made me, it makes me think of, I've seen people post pictures of him too, Cliff Curtis.
Yeah.
That actor, and they're like, he's what Hollywood just calls generally not white. They're like, sometimes he's Mexican, sometimes he's Colombian, sometimes he's Afghani, sometimes he's from Africa. They're like, generally, if you need a guy that isn't white, but you want a pretty good actor, you go with Cliff Curtis.
Yeah, I mean, I get names sell things, you know? I don't know too many of, like, the big, you know, French actors. There's a few that have come over here.
Vincent Cassel, that's it.
What about Marion Cotillard or whatever?
Yeah, Cara Delevingne.
Yeah, there's a few of them. Yeah. But for the most part, I'm sure they're going to be happy that it's a $30 million budget, big budget action period piece, romance, CG, pushing the boundaries of cultism. I thought it was going to be satanic in some degree too, but the Christians were controlling the monster. I don't know. Maybe it was trying to say something about religion. Didn't know what it wanted to say, I guess, overall.
Yeah, maybe a little bit. It's a little bit all over the place there with its ideals.
Obviously wouldn't have made it the same way. I think it was a fun movie to pick for the podcast, though.
Yeah.
It's a very easy movie to talk about because it's just, there's so much chaos going on. I do think it's an entertaining movie, but I'll admit it's 100% not a good movie.
Yeah, actually, the only other movie I've seen from this director is his Silent Hill, which, I'm gonna be honest, I prefer Silent Hill.
Which one did he make?
The first one.
The first one.
Yeah.
I did like
the
that
good
movie.
The good one. The second one.
I saw the other one.
The second one's pretty rough. That one goes all over the place, but I thought the first one was actually one of the better like versions of a video game movie, at least. Yeah. out of all the other attempts that have been made. And then his most recent film was a version of Beauty and the Beast from 2014.
I did see the Beauty and the Beast thing when I looked them up.
That starred Vincent Cassel as the Beast again. He's always the Beast.
Get out of here. But the Beast isn't bad. Well, maybe in that version he is.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if in that version he's a terrible guy, but yeah.
Disney remake from like 2017, one of my favorite things was the fact that like it got creepy for like no reason at all. When he like lets her go and he's like, you'll come back to me. And I'm like, oh my God, creep. And I love the plague plot with Belle's mom. Like
that they just ran. That's like, there's...
She's not around because the plague killed her. I'm like, oh, shit.
That felt like...
this movie wasn't 3 years later. That would have hit weird.
That was like another... That seems to be the thing with all of these, the live action remakes of the Disney films. It feels like they always want to add something in, I don't know, just to like try to make it seem like they didn't just straight up copy their own cartoon versions by being like, we added this into it. That was different, right?
Although, like, Lion King felt on a straight up copy. There really wasn't that one was much like, difference.
That one I feel like is one of the more, yeah, more like literal translations where they didn't really affect too much, but
it was the Gus Van Sant of Disney
the Psycho.
Oh, we're gonna make a shot for shot version with animals.
Gonna do nothing different whatsoever.
Which is probably the worst thing Jon Favreau's done in a long time. Almost everything he touches has been pretty good.
Since Iron Man 2, that was his worst movie since Iron Man 2, probably.
It's probably even better than Iron Man 2. Still.
I mean, yeah, like, it's better than Iron Man 2, but
the remake is more pointless than it is bad. That's where it turns out to be bad. Maybe if you hadn't, like a social experiment, like you didn't let your kids know there was an animated version and you just made them watch the live action version or something.
Yeah. And then found out like, how did you like that? Like,
we're going to show you what it was based off of.
Yeah.
Surprise. Cause like Mandalorian was great. And all those stuff that he's picking up for Marvel, Disney, it's been turning out fairly well. So interested to see. I don't know where Christoph Gann went.
Yeah.
I get Beauty and the Beast was like a 2014 movie.
Yeah. It's been, seven years since he did anything. And I like literally couldn't find anything that mentioned that he's working on anything. The only thing I did see somewhere that he had brought up about maybe doing like another Silent Hill movie. I don't know, maybe going back since that was successful. He hasn't really done anything. Those are his three movies. He did Brotherhood of the Wolf, Silent Hill, and then Beauty of the Beast. Like he hasn't done anything else in the past.
I mean, this is
20 years
movie.
Other than
this,
those three films.
Brotherhood of the Wolf was very successful, and I remember lots of people talking about it and ranting or raving about it at the time.
You did bring up last time we talked about it. It is one of those movies that fooled people. It was one of those they took it home and then go, that movie was in French.
Yeah, like that hasn't happened since like Pan's Labyrinth, and I'm like, dude, yeah, it's definitely like 100% Spanish.
Yeah. You get that every once in a while. You get that movie that's like...
I mean, this is a movie that just wants to trick you and trick you and trick you, so...
Yeah, it's just always pulling the rug out from under you for something else.
Even if it doesn't make sense, they go for it. But, I mean, I think there's moments in it that are pretty exciting, and I think if I was in France around that time to have something that wasn't like a low-budget rom-com, essentially, you know.
Yeah.
The fact that they had a lot of people in it, and it seems like a lot of these countries are usually pretty proud when something's successful in America, especially since we don't reciprocate how we feel, as a country, we don't reciprocate how we feel towards foreign films. It's very rare for something to be, like, really well-received unless it's something from the UK.
Yeah, it's pretty much if it's not in English, like by default, it's automatically like you've limited your audience, the people that I didn't pay to read a movie.
Right. In most other countries, they watch American films sometimes dubbed or in their language, but they love them. They're actually watching them.
Yeah.
These movies go overseas. Usually China is the country that makes us the most money back. Sometimes even more than what these things have made domestically. That's why they can continue to make another one. You know, you make a movie and you're like, it bombed over here. Like, honestly, in China, it made
amazing.
All the money back. So,
yeah.
We can make another one if we really wanted to. We would make the money. But, so, like, yeah, to that degree, I think it's exciting. But overall, I stick with the mindset that I find it entertaining. It definitely feels like it's more of those movies that's fun, I think, from the how chaotic it is and the choices that they make. Like the choice when that one woman is like seemingly evading those like the soldiers and then runs into the mysterious figure who kills them and then with a fan. And it's Monica Bellucci's like character. Then she's like, I don't know. There's like that reveal, like it was me for no reason.
Yeah. So yeah, she's like a weird character. That's like, is she supposed to be like a witch or something like that? Like, Gregoire has like weird dreams when he's with her. Like he has a vision of her stabbing him in his sleep or something like that.
I took it that he was just like on drugs or something like that. But yeah. It's a weird movie. I am glad that we covered it, though. It was probably the one that, like, the fact that it is the least prestigious of all of them makes it a lot more fun to talk about, I think.
Yeah.
But we're going to get really, really prestigious next week.
Super. Super prestigious.
I'm excited to talk about them.
Yeah.
It could go... it should be a 5-episode streak.
Should be.
Possibly could get ruined and only be 4. But only time will tell. We'll have to work with it. How it plays out.
Yeah, we'll see.
Is that a good tease?
I think it is.
You're going to know exactly what it is if you follow us on Facebook and Twitter, because we'll advertise it on Thursday. But yeah, I mean, what are your final thoughts about Brotherhood of the Wolf, Chuck? I know you think it's too long. Anything that you maybe didn't jump into?
No, I think I jumped into pretty much everything. I mean, it's a fun, it's at least a fun movie just to kind of sit there and check out. It's definitely again, I would say definitely not your standard French film, not the... You know, again, most people, when they think of French films, they're thinking of the other 3 films we did, like people moping around and being depressed and smoking cigarettes 24/7.
The Fire Within was probably the most French film of all the French films.
That was definitely the most French. But, you know, this is definitely a change of pace to get into. So, yeah, you know, check it out.
Another good episode. We'll be back next week with our new theme. I'm on Twitter at JJMorgan19. Chuck really isn't on Twitter, but he has Twitter.
Yeah, ChuckFinn66.
Follow us on Facebook and Twitter, like I said, for our advertisements. And thanks for listening. Thank you, Chuck, for picking an interesting theme. I'm excited where the rest of the show's going. I think it gets more exciting. I don't know if the episodes get better. I'm very realistic with how these things turn out sounding. But, hey, we do what we do.
Yeah.
All right. Later.
Thanks.
We are Cinema D'Amore. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter to stay up to date with news and information on upcoming episodes. Find us on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Podbean, Spotify, Amazon Music, Audible, Pandora, Alexa, or iHeartRadio. It would be greatly appreciated if you subscribe to our podcast on your platform of choice. We also appreciate feedback, so rate us, review us, and let us know what you think. And above all else, thank you for listening.